Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and I'm going to make just a couple statements and then jump back into the study here. We live in a very foolish world. A world that calls right wrong and wrong right. Isn't it amazing? I don't follow the news as close as I used to, but you got all these idiots that want to ask questions of a Supreme Court justice who have never judged a case in their life. They want to ask him questions about things that have nothing to do with being a judge. And they call themselves smart. A world where we want the freedom to do what we want unless somebody else has what we want or goes against what we want, and then we shouldn't have freedom. Folks, our world is just messed up. We live in a world that thinks that evolution is science, but evolution breaks every law of science.
Right.
I mean, every one of them. We live in a world of global warming belief that's only believed because of computer models. Well, I hate to tell you something, computers only do what computers are told to do. So it's the programming of them that is the issue. God wants us to be wise. James chapter 1, verse number 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not." God does not want us to live foolishly. Sin creates foolishness. God is the source of wisdom. Guess who the source of foolishness is then? The devil. Wisdom is not just knowing what is right. Wisdom is the right execution of the right facts. And we have been talking about it, and I'm going to jump right back into it. And we are on point number 11. I have about 30 of these total or so. So we're going to jump right back in. But tonight, Proverbs chapter 7, look at verse number, or chapter 9, I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse number 7. "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." Now, the point I want you to get on this, and I'll teach just for a few minutes on this, is this. Wisdom can be learned by correction. Wisdom can be learned by correction. Please forgive me as I make some strong statements here. Fools and scorners get angry at correction. Wise people do not get angry when corrected. The Bible says a fool and a scorner will get angry when they get corrected. But a wise person receives it and says, "I can learn from this and I won't repeat this. I don't have to go through this again. Somebody cares enough about me to fix me," and we go forward. You see, a fool or a scorner allows their pride to take it personally. A wise person takes it professionally. Can I tell you something? There are times in life where you need to learn to take it just because it's a professional thing to do. I don't always like everything that I have to do, and there are corrections I get. I've been corrected by people down at the county. Okay, learned what not to do, where not to step. I've been corrected by banks from time to time. I corrected a few of them too. But wait a minute. We all receive corrections. Have you ever been stopped by a police officer and been corrected? Some of you, it's always the police officer's fault, but it wasn't his fault you were speeding. Isn't it amazing? It's always your fault. Yeah. No, his mom got stopped this week. I won't go there. You can ask her that story, not me, or ask Wyatt. He knows. Now, wait a minute. A fool, their pride takes it too personally. Part of rearing children is teaching them to receive correction without getting angry. A foolish child gets angry when they're corrected. That's why God says you drive it far from them. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Drive it far from them. My kids used to hate it because every time they were going to get corrected, they knew what was coming. Did I make you do wrong? No, sir. Did Mom make you do wrong? No, sir. Did your brother make you do wrong? Did your sister make you do wrong? Who did wrong? Me? Good. Personal acceptance. I went through that every time. When I was a principal, I'd say, did your teacher give you these demerits? Yes. No. You gave them to yourself. Did your teacher break the rule or did you?
Well, I did.
Okay, your teacher was obeying me. And your teacher was obeying God. And you're supposed to obey. So whose fault is this?
Mrs. Bush?
No. I heard that more than once. Do you know that somebody who is a fool can't bear the thought of being wrong?
Right. You're right.
If you have to be right all the time, guess what? You're in line to be a fool. Because you can't handle it when you're not right. And by the way, a fool makes life miserable for everybody around. Did you ever work around somebody that could do no wrong, but they never did anything right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Be quiet, Mrs. Barnes. a wise person, you don't have to correct twice for the same thing. All of us going as we grew up, remember the kid that was always in trouble because he always did the same thing all the time? Didn't matter who the teacher was, didn't matter what class you were in, you knew so-and-so was going to get in trouble. When I was a kid, it was Dennis Hutton. Dennis Hutton and Donna Harper were always going to get in trouble, didn't matter what class they were in, what school they were in, and they're probably both in jail now. This is why I'm not online. Amen. Wise people love correction because it allows them to be more wise. Did you know if you'll receive correction, you can be more wise and not make as many mistakes down the line? Did you know that failure is a step of success? Nobody ever succeeds at everything they do. Usually there's a long list of failures sprinkled in with success. Most millionaires and billionaires have gone bankrupt at least once. At least. Say why? They made mistakes. But in the making of those mistakes, they figured out how to do things right, and they corrected it, and they made more because of it. So nobody's going to do everything right. Don't expect everybody else to do everything right. You know, I don't expect everybody to do everything right. I don't. I don't expect me to do everything right. I try. Correction teaches you what does not work. Did you know that some things you learn in life just because you figured out it didn't work? Correction is a step to success, and correction gives you the ability to think more like the leader or what is right. Many times I've made mistakes, but gone back to the leader and said, how could I have fixed that before that happened? And I'll get corrected and they'll say, well, next time, how about we go through this process instead of this process? Should have asked first. Too late, but I don't have to do that again. I was in charge when we were in South Carolina. I was in charge of a great big day we were having. We were going to have over 1,000 bus kids on Sunday. We were having Goldfish Sunday. And no, the whole world will die and go to the booger man before I swallow one of those puppies. It is not happening. You can chew them. You can swallow them. You can do whatever you want. I'll eat sardines, but I'm not swallowing a goldfish. Ain't gonna happen. You're not gonna pry my jaws open. Strongest muscle I've got. It's not happening. All right? But I had like I had two huge, I went to the fish store down the road in Hanahan, got fish. I had 500 in one giant cooler with a air-filled bag, 500 in the other. Got them on Saturday evening. Got to the church on Sunday morning, and I think I had 6 fish that were alive out of 1,000. They packaged them wrong. Nobody was there at the fish store. I've got 1,000 kids coming in. And I'm sweating bullets. Let me tell you. I couldn't get anybody. So, I called the police. I told them who I was. I said, I need the owner. You've got emergency contact to the owner. And I need him now. Happened to be one of the men in our church was Hanahan police officer. I said, if I need to go down there and bust a window, I will. But I need somebody to meet me there now. The owner calls me from home. And he said, I don't have another 1,000 goldfish. I said, well, you're going to solve the problem in the next hour and a half, one way or the other, or I'm bringing 1,000 people to your store, and they're going to pick whatever fish you have, and I don't care if they're $300 fish each. I said, I didn't package them. You did. I said, I'm going to keep my word. Now, do you want me to line my buses out in front of your store, or what are you going to do? He said, let me work on it. For the next hour and a half, there were cars, vans, trucks driving fish from all over South Carolina to our church. I think I ended up with about 2,000 fish that day. Say, what was that? I've learned my lesson. I learned how to check the packaging of them before they go out. At that time, I had a 55-gallon fish tank, and I understood fish a little bit. I had African cichlids, and they were gorgeous. And I was just going to pull up the buses and let the kids go pick whatever fish they wanted. You say, you wouldn't have done that. You know me well enough. I would have. Doesn't bother me a bit. I don't know where all those fish came from. I don't know if they were ever paid for, but I didn't pay for them again. The guy came out to look at them. He said, I'll meet you in 5 minutes. He grabs the first batch, and he takes them. He turns them upside down, and he holds the bag like this, and the water and 500 fish go whoosh all over the ground. He said, those weren't packaged well. I said, no. I said, and you want to blame me? He said, no, this isn't your fault. I said, I know, but you're going to fix it. He later told me, he said, I've never had to get that many fish that fast in my life. He said, you'd have brought all those kids, wouldn't you? I said, uh-huh. He said, but I have expensive fish. I said, you wouldn't have. Guarantee it. Wisdom is learned by making mistakes. Wisdom allows you to take correction for the work's sake or to take it professionally. There are times you have to be willing to be corrected for the boss's sake and for the work's sake. Don't take it so personal. If you get chewed out at work, they're not chewing you out. They're chewing you out professionally. Take it professionally. Quit taking it personally. Some of you go home and pout about it, and your wife and your kids suffer because you got in trouble at work. Aw, come here, let me burp you too. Learn to take it for the work's sake. It has nothing to do about you personally. It has everything to do about you professionally. It is a professional issue, not a personal issue, and I've got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 13. I could preach a whole sermon on mistakes, amen? Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 13. Bible says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Look down in verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Look down at verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Here's the principle. A wise person uses their mouth right. A wise person uses their mouth right. Wise people only speak when it's appropriate and about topics that are appropriate. I had a phone call this week. a college student was, their character was attacked. Somebody was going around the college where they attend and saying, well, this person is doing this, and it was all lies. And the college student said, what should I do? And I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I went to the person's roommate and told him it's all lies. They said, did you go to administrator? Well, no. I said, then you hang up the phone and go tell the administrator right now. I said, then let me know what the administration says. I said, the roommate can't fix it. The administration can. So they hung up. They went to the administration, called me back and said, thanks. They said they're going to take care of it, and it's not their first report. I said, exactly. I said, that's how you take care of things. Remember that for the next time. Wise people only speak about topics they actually understand. Fools are known as know-it-alls. It's one of those people that can talk intelligently about everything and really don't know anything about anything. You know, the person that's 30 years old, they've been in college for 20 years, and have never done anything, but they sure are smart. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, they professional student. Wise people build people with their words. Fools tear people down with their words. If you have to pull somebody down to get up, you're a fool. Because you're not getting up. Wise people build people with their words. They don't tear people down. Wise people, Bible says in verse 23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Fools, it's almost a sport to them to use their mouth and hurt people. Hey, watch this. And they'll go say something to watch somebody cry or watch somebody get hurt, watch somebody get mad. And it's almost like it's a sport to them. That's exactly what that verse means. They make sport of tearing people down. Wise people have others listening to their words, while fools have nobody that wants to listen to their words. You know, people want to listen to somebody that's wise, but most people don't want to listen to a fool. How many of you really want to listen to all these idiots grill Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court? Who wants to listen to Chuck E. Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and who's the other ding-dong from California out there? Barbara Boxer. She looks like a boxer. I knew it was some kind of dog, but I couldn't remember. I didn't want to be unkind to the dog. Boxer sure got a bad name after that woman, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? Those are fools. Those are foolish people that want to tear somebody down to show everybody how smart they are. They're not real bright. They're really not. Fools tear people down. Wise people understand not just what to say, but when to say something. And I'll get into that in just a minute here. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. I got to hurry. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 1 through 3. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Wisdom seeks to be just. Do you know that wisdom seeks justice? Justice is, and I have a set of scales in my office there, the scales of justice. It's the, you have a an arm that goes across this way and two things hanging off by chains, and they're just when they're equal. And that is exactly what wisdom seeks, is justice. That means innocent until proven guilty, not just till they're accused. Do you know that an accuser, just because you've been accused does not mean that you're guilty? What I have against our press these days is how they report news. Somebody's been accused of a crime, and you think this guy's the biggest pervert that walked outside of Hades. And nothing has been proven yet. It's an accusation. Everybody doing okay? One thing about our president, he's had a lot of accusations, but he's cleared every one of them. Okay. Say, well, what about all these accusations? You know how many people are trying to tear him down? An accusation does not mean you're guilty. Isn't it amazing? All of these police officers who've been accused of civil rights misjustices, and how few of them have been found guilty. Now, we've started riots. We've had people killed, murdered. We've had people rioting in the streets and maimed and hurt. Cities burned and businesses destroyed. All because somebody was accused of wrong, not found guilty. All on accusation, published and printed and promoted as guilt. Everybody doing okay? All right. Just because there are two witnesses, that doesn't prove guilt. Two witnesses means you have the right to investigate. Two witnesses does not give guilt, scripturally. Two witnesses means you have the right to investigate. Wise people admit to wrong while fools are too proud to admit it. Okay. My favorite part of the sermon. Everybody say this with me. I am wrong. Oh man, nobody had a heart attack. Did you know that it's not sinful to say, I am wrong? Did you know there's nothing sinful about it? Why is it so hard for us to admit? It's hard for us to admit to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, to whoever. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, I was wrong. Let's try another one. It is my fault. Ooh. Now that one hurts a little more, but nobody died. Not yet. They might after church, but not yet. Hang on. You know, you have to admit to being a sinner before you can get saved. You have to admit your guilt and wrongness before you can get saved. What's so wrong with admitting that to somebody else? Everybody doing okay? A fool says, I'm not bad enough sinner that I need to get saved. I don't need God. God's just a crutch. Wise people judge a whole life, not just how they treat you. Just because somebody doesn't treat you right doesn't mean they're a creep. Just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't mean that they hate everybody. Isn't it amazing how your enemy, you have such distaste for, but there are people that love your enemy? That must mean there's some good in them somewhere. Okay, moving on. Next one. That one was getting a little close to home, amen? Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse number 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Wisdom knows what not to say. Wisdom knows what not to say. Everybody listen to this statement very carefully here. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to tell everybody. Well, I have an opinion. Well, everybody has a nose. You pick which one you want. Folks, just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you need to express it. Good night, I'm tearing the pulpit up and I didn't even hit it. Can I tell you something? We are too free to give our opinion in what we think. And I'm going to say a few pointed things here. Usually your opinion is worthless unless it's asked for. You know, I rarely give an opinion unless somebody asks me for it. If I think I need to give it to protect somebody, I'll say, do you mind if I give you an opinion?
If they say, no, don't want it, I don't give it. I ask if I can give it if I've not been asked. And if they say no, I don't worry about it. Their mistake, not mine. You don't have to tell how you feel all the time about something. Everybody doing okay? You know, we're too free to tell people how we feel about everything that happens. You watch your spouse make a decision. Well, I don't think you should have done that. And you should have done. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't your decision to make? And if they didn't ask for your opinion, what are you doing inserting it? Even with the people with whom we live, we offer our opinions way too much. And I'm going to make a statement here. Wisdom is often what you don't say, not what you say. Everybody doing okay? Wisdom is often what you don't say, not what you say. Y'all better hope I never get Alzheimer's and start telling everything I know that's in here. You better just cut my tongue out so I can't talk. Because there's a lot of stuff up there that should not be said. Let me tell you. Yeah. Lock me in a room that has no sound in it at all. Because I could get a lot of people in trouble even. You know, you don't have to say everything you know. I know preachers right now that are making mistakes. But because they've not asked my opinion, they've not asked my advice, I say nothing. It's not mine. I got all I can handle right here. Gossip is negative truth intending to expose wrong or to hurt somebody. That's what gossip is. You know, I want you to notice something. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, not the false accuser. When the devil goes to God and says, Wiley, you're a dirty, filthy, rotten, no good scum of the earth sinner, guess what? It's the truth. The devil doesn't accuse you falsely. He's telling God the sins that you've actually done and the wrong that you've done. But Jesus, as your advocate, stands there and says, Father, it's under the blood. Amen. And God says, in my sight, there is no sin because it's covered by the blood. Amen. He's not the false accuser. He is the accuser. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to make a statement here I've never made before. I worked real hard at this statement. Did you know a gossip is what I call a devil mouse? They accuse you of the wrong. Gossip is devil mouth. It's satanic. It is accusing someone to destroy them and to hurt them. It's worse than potty mouth. Now, I'm not for either one, but gossip is nasty. That's why we're not going to put up with it here at Grace Baptist Church, just so you know. And by the way, gossip can be done by preachers, too, when they get up and tell their congregation so-and-so and make them come up and tell everybody all the bad things they did. That's called gossip. It's not church discipline. That's gossip. You can't forgive that person anyway. God had to. So what good does it do you to know all the wrong they've done? Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 11 says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth the neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace until by a revealed secret, but he of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. There are some things that do not need to be made public. Everybody doing okay? Number 15, I'm hurrying. Proverbs chapter 10. I don't know why I went back to that one. I think it's Proverbs chapter. Let me look here. Yep, Proverbs chapter 13. Must have got a phone call in the middle of that one. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. You think I'm kidding? Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10.
The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I want to really help you tonight, and I may not go any farther than this. We might get one more in. I don't know. Wisdom is well-advised and not too proud to get help. Wisdom is well-advised and not too proud to get help. Contention
is a matter of foolishness. Everybody know what contention is? That's strife. It's fighting. It's arguing. It's harshness. It's harsh words. It's fist fights. It's all the above.
Contention comes because you want your way instead of what is right. But you've convinced yourself that your way is right. Do you know that most couples fight, they both think they're right? Do you know that when teenagers and parents disagree, teenagers think they're right? Sometimes they are. Parents think they're right. Sometimes they are. Sometimes both are right, but one's not right at the right time. So wisdom has to step in. Everybody doing okay? Wisdom does not push its way on anyone. It just makes well-advised decisions.
I don't push my way on anybody. Every, probably at least twice a month, almost every week of the world, I get a letter from somebody starting a church. They need support from our church for the next 18 to 24 months to get their church started here in the United States. I don't write back and tell them what I really think. I don't say, what do you do with it?
Glad they're starting a church. God bless them. And I put it in the round file. I'm not saying it's sinful to do it. But why do all the other churches in America have to support you to get your church going? Go out there and knock on doors and get people into your church and work a part-time job or full-time job till you got it to where you need it. Why is it everybody else's church's responsibility to help you? I don't get that. Now, maybe, again, I don't think there's anything sinful about it. But I didn't send letters all over the country to help us.
I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. I don't think it's right for pastors in other churches to send notifications to other church members in other places all over the country that they're building a new building and they need your help financially.
You're right. Read it.
How about I call him and ask him if I can talk to his church members about tithing and helping me? That's going to go over real well, won't it? I thought we were independent local churches. Why do we have to fleece everybody else? I'm sorry. Now, I'm not unkind. I'm for helping people. Good night. A year ago, I flew up to Maine to help Brother Drillyard and Brother Rick Walters' church. Brother Walters' wife gave me one of Rick's ties, and I got it on. I told my wife, I said, man, I don't ever remember buying this tie. And then I looked at it. And I remember her saying this was his favorite tie because it's a Jerry Garcia tie. And I used to laugh because I think Jerry Garcia was some kind of rock star or something. But it was his favorite tie. I don't know why I remembered that as soon as I saw the name on it. And, well, that was Rick's. And I just kind of laughed about it. Now, wait a minute. I went up there to help their church, to help Brother Rick's wife and kids. In the process, Brother Drillyard opened up and said, preacher, what would you do? I said, are you sure? He said, I need to know. He said, you and Brother Rick were close. What did you talk about? What can I do? How can I transition this church? I said, Doc, I said, you got a basement concreted in over here. You got a building. You got a few $100,000 sitting in the bank. I said, get that building started and get everybody rallied behind it. Get out of this old trashy building and get into the new one. Building they're in is falling down. I said, get out of this and build. And they had about $100,000 worth of lumber sitting around rotten, doing nothing.
I helped him get different places to buy all that stuff back, made some money on it, got everything cleared out. They now have the shell on the upper half of that, and had a service last Sunday in there.
Amen.
And his people are going nuts. He said, Brother Bush,
he called me last week and he said, I was like everybody else in this church. It was 7.5 years to get the church to where it was just concreted in a basement. He said, it was just an expensive hole in the ground that nobody in this church thought would ever happen. He said, you breathe life into us. You breathe life into me. He said, everybody's excited. My church is growing. Our offerings have almost doubled in the last year. And he said, we got building up. And he said, it's happening.
Amen.
He said, do you know what's different about you than everybody else that called me? I said, no, sir. He said, you didn't tell me what to do. Everybody else is telling me what to do. He said, you just said this is what you would do, but it's up to you what you do. He said, I decided I'd follow what you're doing because you're building too. He said, I figured you knew what you were doing. I said, well, that was your first mistake, but you got it done. Fake it till you make it, son. Wait a minute. We got him rallied behind it. You know, he didn't lose one church. He lost three people total in the transition between the death of a pastor and the building of this work. Three. That's it. That's unheard of in a Baptist church. And by the way, the three that left were on their way out with Brother Walter anyway, because I knew who they were. That was funny. So I didn't count them, but I had to say it anyway. Wisdom doesn't push its way on anyone. It just makes well-advised decisions. Contention comes when we ask advice, but do it our own way anyway.
If I ask Brother Harry for advice about electrical work, teasing. But if I ask Brother Harry's advice on something, and then I look at him and say, nah, I'm not going to do that. What good was it for me to ask his advice? I learned a long time ago, I'm going to go to the right people, ask their advice, and I'll do what they say. I may not like it, may not understand it. But I'm going to do what they say because I decided to get their advice. If you're going to get their advice, you ought to be willing to do what they say. Boy, that's good stuff. You say, why? Because life doesn't happen always as you see it. If I take these things off, I don't see real well. Now, I can still see, but I can't read what's on my outline. And it'll take me about 2 or 3 minutes before I can see everybody's face to where it's not fuzzy. Say, what's happened? I need something to help my vision. I don't deny the fact that I need them. Good night. I've worn glasses for over 10 years. I got over, I wonder how I'll look in glasses. I don't want to wear. Good night. I got over that a long time ago. If you read as the number of words I read every day of your life, you'd need them too. And the ability to see clearly to help people. You don't view life as everybody else does. But I promise you, if I ask Kirsten to put my glasses on, she's going to fall down the steps. She doesn't need that kind of visual help. I'm waiting for the ones that fix color blindness. Amen? But anyway, life is not... Please don't mistake how I say this. Life is not all black and white. It's mostly gray. You think just because you didn't do something wrong that you're okay. Well, I could not do something wrong to my wife and her still not be real happy with me. It's not that it wasn't wrong. It may not have been real wise. Everybody doing okay? You know, there are certain things that aren't wrong to say, but they might not be the right time to say them. Okay, everybody knows I'm not the biggest lover of cats in the world.
Oh.
I don't like how they taste.
Mrs. Barton saw that one coming, unfortunately. She had her head buried. She knew what was coming. Now, wait a minute. I'm not a big cat lover. I'm not against people who own them. But my sister-in-law had a cat die this week. She's, I think, had cancer for 2 years, and she's had that cat for about 12, 13 years. And my brother texted me. He said, "Hey, can you pray for Tam? Her cat died." And she just, and my sister-in-law loves her cat. And I get that. You know, I sent my sister-in-law a text and told her I was praying for her, and I hurt for her. Now, I didn't tell her I loved the cat, because I never did. The Hebrew word for cat is target. Amen? But I don't use that around my sister-in-law. Is it wrong? No, but around her it's not wise. Trust me. Now, wait a minute. I can say it in fun. She doesn't see it as fun. So I just don't do that around her. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother her then. She knows I cared about her. By the way, I sincerely prayed for my sister-in-law. I know what they're going through right now. I know some of their family needs right now. I know how devastating it was, not because it was a stupid cat. I'm sorry, a cat. But because of everything else that's piled on top of that. So what's wrong with me saying I'll pray for somebody who just lost a pet? Nothing. Now, I didn't pray for the pet to go to heaven. It has no spirit. It's not going to heaven.
Right.
Cats probably go somewhere else. But it is what it is. Now, life is not all black and white. There's a lot of gray. That means not everything is a right-wrong issue. It's not as you see it being right. It's not as you feel that it's right. Everybody doing okay? Boy, that's good stuff. Wisdom does not promise what it cannot deliver so as not to hurt people. I try not to say, I promise we're going to do this and then break the promise. Ooh. I told my daughter before the end of summer coming, we were going to go horseback riding. I was wishing to God I hadn't made that statement. Because if it wasn't 8 inches of rain, it was 427 degrees outside. And then you combine the two and they got mosquitoes big enough to carry you away. But the weekend before she left for college, we went horseback riding. I picked a day and said, doesn't matter what the weather, we're going. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Did we enjoy it? Yes, but I decided I was going to keep my promise. You know what she told me? She said, "Daddy, I know things are busy. I know things with Grandma and Grandpa, the house, the church. We could do it another time." I said, "No, I promise you we're going to do it." And we did it. I took a few hours out, and we did it. You say, why? Because I made a promise to her. And I kept my promise. Did I enjoy it? Not as much as she did, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being with my wife and my daughter, having fun. It wasn't what I was doing, it was who I was with.
Right.
See, wisdom doesn't promise something and then say, no, we can't do that. How'd you like me to get up right now and say, well, we've had troubles with the building, we can't do it anymore, we're just going to stay here. How do you think your family feels when you say that stuff like that? You do whatever it takes to make it happen. Are we doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I gotta quit. Good night. There are so many more things I want to say right now. But Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Your pride is what creates the contention. Usually it's both people then with their pride. I'm right. No, I'm right. I'm right. No, I'm right. How about we say that's right? And we'll decide to follow it. But every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We have a long way to go. None of us are all wise. Only God is. But boy, we sure do need more wisdom.